This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share. You alone are
my redemption. Jesus, Jesus, there is no other name than Jesus. Father God, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. It is so wonderful to celebrate this weekend. It is so dreadful on the one side, Father. It is so horrible, but it is so wonderful and beautiful that we may celebrate this weekend every year, Father, that we may be reminded of who you are and what you did and how much it cost you and Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together. Thank you that we are part of your bride. And during the intercession before church, you showed me a bride with beautiful flowers, Father, white flowers, nearly to the ground. And you say, we are all part of the bride. And the bride must prepare herself. She must cleanse herself and put on a nice dress, a beautiful dress for a bridegroom. And have the flowers and have her hair done. And she must look spotless, without wrinkle or blemish. Lord, this bride is your church, and we are part of your church. Help us, Father. Help us, Lord, to be cleansed, to be prepared, to put on our beautiful dress, and with the flowers and the makeup and everything and the smell, so that we can meet our bridegroom, so that we can meet Jesus, who has done everything for us, Father. Praise you, Lord, that you are working in us, that you have a huge work in us, Father, and thank you that you're never tired or lazy or you just say, I've had it. Never. You always reach out for us. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Jesus. Holy, holy, holy is your name, Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you so much. I don't know how you feel about this weekend. It's always, for me, it's an awesome weekend, but it's a terrible weekend. If I think what Jesus had to do this weekend, and if I think of what he sacrificed for us, who are we? And we're going to get there in the sermon. But it is so amazing. And then I think, Jesus, he was whipped, he bled, he was full of shame on the cross, and he died there. We all know it was not an easy death. And then God the Father, I think those who have children realize, if you have one son and you have to sacrifice that son for a lot of stupid people who still in sin and who still doesn't want to know you and doesn't want to be with you. Yeah, it is hectic. It is actually really hectic. So yeah, sorry. Let's go on. I'm the living God, and God gave me two headings for the sermon. Also, the resurrection power. And as we celebrate today resurrection, let's quickly look at what it means to be, what it means resurrection. What is resurrection? And Strong's is the dictionary. You also have access to it. We go to hear what it says in Greek or in Hebrew. And resurrection is in Greek, arising again, resurrection. And it comes from the word anestemi. I don't know if I pronounce it right. A standing up again, in other words, resurrection from death or a recovery. So we all know, or most of us know, that Jesus died on the cross and he was in a tomb. And so, by the way, I'm just reminded of that. Someone sent me a WhatsApp of a conversation, and Pontius Pilatus asked Joseph and Arimathea, so why do you're such a rich man, why do you give your tomb to this Jesus? And he said, "Ach, it's only for the weekend." And I found it actually hilarious. I don't think he knew, but let's borrow it to him. But we and most of us know that Jesus was resurrected. And that was a resurrection power, that he stood up out of the grave. Me and Darken had a lot of conversations this week about, did he go to hell? Did he go to the abyss? Where did he go to? But if I'm correct, I think it's a topic for another time. But he was where the dead were. So it's not the fiery pit where at the end the devil will live or be with everyone who followed him. But he was with the dead. And it's not a nice place. It's, yeah. And then Jesus was resurrected. Oh, you already put on the photo. How can this be applicable to us? It's beautiful, the big stone that they have there. The stone was the door. So the stone had to be rolled away if you want to get out or in. And normally it took a few men to roll that thing around. You can see it's quite heavy. And often it had a ditch where it would roll in. But it's actually impossible for someone from the inside to roll it away. But this was so beautiful to me to see the light. Actually, it was dark inside now. But the light was on. Actually, Jesus was gone already. But it's beautiful. And how is this applicable to you? In what sense? In what sense does this apply to you? Okay, we'll get to that just now. If I jump around a little, this is how God gave me the sermon. So we had a little the word of resurrection. Now we had a little of how is this open grave, how is this resurrection of Jesus applicable to you? How do you apply to yourself? But then God asked me, and I'll read a little later how he spoke to me for the sermon. And he says, "What do you know of me? And how many of you do knows me?" Okay? You know of someone. I know of Napoleon a little. And I've watched Sundays after we had sermon and we are tired and we go home and we eat our little lasagna from Jumbo. Then a program. And it was about Rembrandt. So Rembrandt was a famous painter. And then people had to paint. And then every week someone was cancelled, so then the last it was four people, and they had to paint for 24 hours, like Rembrandt. They cannot be Rembrandt. So they studied this guy. They could stay in the museum. They could study all his techniques, and they were trained during the past few months about his techniques and how he did it. Do they know Rembrandt? No, he's dead. They cannot know him, but they do know a lot of him. And I think often us as Christians, or if you're a Christian, when I grew up, I struggled with that. I knew a lot of him, but I didn't know him. And since I know him, it outweighs the knowing of him. And this is for everyone. We all can know him. You all can have a relationship with him. And that is so super cool, because our God never dies. He's always alive. So yes, we will die, our physical bodies, but he's always there. So yeah, like Napoleon and Rembrandt, we know of them. And I want to ask you, in your heart, how much do you know of Jesus or of God Trinity? And how much do you know him? Just in your heart, answer in yourself. Okay, let's come back to the resurrection power. Do you have any idea what is resurrection power and why it is significant? I once heard a sermon about the resurrection power. I don't know how many of you were there. I don't think many of you. But as God shared with me, God the Father shared with me the sermon, he says, part of this power is everything that was created and still sustained. How it was created, that power, I think the resurrection power is part of that. It's a superpower. And then I think it sounds so ungodly, the word superpower. But exactly what it is. in movies, everything is about superpowers and super people and people from beyond another world or out of the space or from another world or another thing. So I suppose that's why he gave me this word. It's a superpower from God, and it overshadows any other power. Jesus was pulled out of the grave, out of the place where he was, death. And he conquered every power of the enemy in that. In Colossians 2, verse 15, do you have it, Urbanus? Sorry, is it there? Okay, because I don't have it in my notes, this one. God disarmed the principalities and powers that were ranged against us and made a bold display and a public example of them in triumphing over them in him and in it, the cross. It was a display. It was splendor. It was not something hidden. The dead knew of this. They could see of this, and we know of this. It was awesome. And in Ephesians 1 verse 19 it says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places." It is so. This resurrection power is not nothing. It is a superpower. Okay, we'll come back later again. So we hop a little. So this time of year, as you know, we all celebrate Jesus' death, and his resurrection. And actually, Jesus wanted to speak about the resurrection. We spoke a little about the resurrection power. But first, why did Jesus die? Does anyone know? Why was it necessary that Jesus died? No? In a few moments, not now yet, we will see a few pictures of a person who sits in between papers. And when Jesus shared this with me, he said, sin was stacking onto one another, and on Jesus on the cross, there was nearly no sign of it. So it's our sin, our wrongdoings, our fears, our jealousy, our unforgiveness, our shame, was all stacked on him. You could barely see Jesus in the spirit realm now. And there was nearly no sign of it. It was not as if those sins were past sin of holy people or saints or believers. No. It was still going on. No, it was sin of us still to come. And this is not the way how we work. When, say for instance, I make a debt, and man, I'm struggling to pay back, and I cannot, and I ask help. So, for instance, I'll ask Darkan to help. Then, I don't know if you're like that, but I suppose, I think so. Then he will say, okay, let's just first see, how did you get here? And he will not pay the debt with me leaving to make more. Yeah? But Jesus did. Jesus didn't say, okay, you must now first be taught of this, how you do sin, and you must first stop sinning, and then I'll die on the cross for all the debts that you made, or the shame, or the fear. No, he didn't say that. In our making of sin, okay, Jesus died 2,000 years ago, but people were still sinning. He died, and this is for me so amazing how. How much must Jesus love us to do this? Do you know of anyone that you will do this? That you teach even your child at a certain time, you're just over it. You say to him, man, I tried to teach you, I tried to help you, but you are so stupid, you do not want to and you cannot and you're just stuck. So I'm going to stop it and let the world run over you or whatever. But Jesus is not like that. While we are still stuck, while we are still struggling, And he knew when he died on the cross, it will continue. It will not be finished in that sense. Yeah? So we're going to look at the three small videos now. First, look at the guy. And the last one is where all the, if you think every paper is a sin, all the sin, you will see what happens to that. It's overwhelming. I think this is how we can feel in a sense when Jesus took everything away. So in Romans 5 verse 8 it says, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners. Christ died for us. Actually what I shared now, it's just the scripture of it. While we were still sinning, he died for us. And this is awesome when you read in Romans and Paul says, okay, so what shall we say then about this? Shall we continue in sin? That grace may abound? Of course not. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? So it's just not, it does, sometimes people want to come with the reasoning, okay, well, Jesus died for everything, so what is the problem? I can sin more so that his grace will become more? No, that is not the way we must think. That is just wrong. And Paul says, no, this is not. Certainly not. Okay. How does God take our sin away? How, in that little video, all the papers left, say everything is a sin. How does God take that away? And I quickly want to share a testimony here. Once God showed me a vision, and who of you have been in a court setting? Not okay. Some of you have been, some of you know more or less from the movies, I suppose, how it looks like. Yeah? So I can just tell you, I have been in a court a few times to support someone. It's actually terrifying. If you go on a flight and you stand there and they check you, do you look the same as on your passport photo? Oh, then I start sweating already. It's even worse as that. Now, it is you feel interrogated, you feel so guilty and you haven't done anything, but you still feel guilty. Okay. So when I was in this vision, I was the accused. So I stood there and there were many people behind me and I felt that in this vision, everyone would get a turn to be accused. And then on my left-hand side, a darkish person stood there. It looked a little like Batman. He had a black thingy over him and his face. I couldn't see his face. It was all dark as if it was the mask on. Man, and he had a big stack of papers. Okay. And then on the other side, Jesus stood. He just stood there. He was not, you know. And then at the back was God the Father, the judge. So I, Satan, I knew it was Satan in that form. And he started saying, oh, but Renee did this, and she did this. Oh, and this also. And this was on top of that. And then this. And every time he shared something, I knew it was right. I knew that that was true. So slowly but surely went through that stack, and I was so, nothing can wash me clean. I'm so guilty. It is terrifying. And then he said, he's finished. So I stood there, guilty, so guilty. And then God asked the Father, he asked Jesus, do you have to say something? And Jesus said, she's part of us. And God the Father took that little hammer, and he hit it on that little piece of wood, and he said, it is done. And Satan was cross, and he took that black coat and he swinged it like that and he went out the door. And I just realized, when you're part of this team, when you're part of Jesus, yes, we have done a lot of sin, but you're part of this group. And God the Father sees us through Jesus then. Okay, so how does Jesus do this? First, you have to agree that Jesus may do it. No. It's the same thing of many people know of Jesus. At a stage in your life, you have to choose to agree with that. You have to make that decision. It will not just flow over you. Many people, yeah, also in the Netherlands, they think if you don't make a choice, then there can be nothing held against you. You have to make the choice. Because if you don't make the choice, you're not part of that team. Now, I always say the winning team. Okay? So, you have to say yes to Jesus, that he will take all your guilt, your shame, your fear, all the wrongs that you've done, all your ancestors, everything, that he may take that upon him, because that is what he died for. He died for that. But he will not take it if you don't want it. So he's prepared to take the whole world's sin if they say yes to him. So it is so terribly sad that if you don't say yes, he has gone through all that hectic hell with his father, and then you just feel, oh, well, whatever. No? So yes, how does Jesus do it? How does God do it? You have to agree. You have to say yes to Jesus. And when you agree that Jesus is the truth, he is the Son of God, and that he was prepared to take all, everything, more than those stacks of papers, on him to get you in his team, to get you to be part of them. Still, while he knows you're still going to struggle, you're still going to do some more. In that whole process, Jesus still says, yes, you may choose. It's not that you have to be clean before. It's not that you have to be taught and teached. And it's the same, taught. That you have to be mature and now only you can choose. No, no. While we are sinning, you may come and you may choose. Okay? Even covering for that still to come. But for what? We have the how. But for what purpose did Jesus do this? For what purpose did God go through this? Now, many of you realize this, but let me just see. To make you debt free, to make you free and have a relationship with God the Father, to have no block in between. He is the Father who created you and loves you and want relationship with you now and forever, and to know him. We have Encounter for Foundation 4 coming up. It's really Jesus died for that. He died so that we can be free. And as Karlinki said, you feel a new person when you can repent of your sins. Jesus makes you free. I have done so many deliverances in my life. And daily I check it if there's any hold on me from the enemy. Jesus has died for that. So why will you be stuck with it? You can be free of that. You can be free of shame. You can be free of fear. Now, that little book that says there's three ways that the world perceive, not Jesus, but how they perceive the world. We in a Western society has the guilty part. You're guilty or not guilty. Have you done it or didn't you do it? No. But then there's a part in the world that goes with shame. Are you part of shaming your family, of shaming the group that you're from? I think it's more in Asia. That is very important. Those people who are in the Western society about guilt and not guilt do not understand shame so much. But shame is powerful. And then the other one is where you grow up with lots of fear because spirits and powers can attack you and be stronger than Jesus. You know, Jesus died for all three of that. He died for the guilt that we did. He died for all your shame. When he hung on the cross without clothes, it was shameful. He was spit on. He was scolded at. He was hit. He was bleeding. That is not very honorable. No, it is terrible. So all your shame he took on him. All your guilt he took on you. And then he conquered all the powers. So he died for everything. It doesn't worry where you come from or how you perceive it and from what direction. He died. Jesus died for everything. All of those. He wants to make you free of that. Your identity is not the shame or the fear or the guilt. That is not who you are. Your identity lies in him. He created you. He wants relationship with you. And that's what I said in the beginning. To know of him is cool, but to know him. And of course, we will not know him at all perfect. But he wants to know, have a relationship with you. He wants to talk to you. Hey, Simeon, how are you doing today? And Simeon has this awesome way of teaching at Encounter One when he shares about how do you recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit, how he speaks to you, how does God the Father speak to you through the Holy Spirit often. And the first time someone phones you, you say, oh, hello, who are you? Oh, yes. Oh, are you John or Jane or whoever? Oh, okay. Yeah, yes. Okay, if this person phones you the next week or the next morning again, oh yes, I spoke to you yesterday. Yeah, oh, it's you. Perhaps I'm exaggerating a little, Simeon, sorry. But I really found it super cool. So the fifth time this person phones you, you know, oh yes, I know you. It's the same with God. The first time you're so unsure, is this God speaking? I have no idea. I don't know. The second time he speaks, you think, I've heard this before, but I don't know yet. So it will continue. It will go on. And you always compare it to the Word, the Bible. And the Bible, God the Father, will never contradict himself. So he will never say, go and kill that guy. No? This is not what we learn in the Bible from him. So how he speaks to you, you can always measure to who he is. And that's so beautiful. The more you read the Bible, the more you learn to know of him. So when you speak with him, you can scan. Oh, is this typically God the Father? So when you speak to someone familiar, you will know, hey, this is totally not Renee. Or this is totally not Derkjan. Because you know that person. You will know this is out of character. So often that is then the enemy who wants to confuse you. Now, so it helps to know of him. Why would anyone go to such length to die for your sin? Why would a relationship be so important to God? And it is actually such an easy answer, because he loves us. It's just his family. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to guide you. He wants to set you free. He wants to heal you. He is such a good father. There's no person on earth that can be so good. And that's why he does it. He loves us so much. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It is just amazing how much God loves us. And I'm just going to read here how God spoke to me. Do you at all understand a little piece of this? How enormously big, wide, and deep my love for you is? It runs deep. It runs thick. It's all over you. Just recognize it and acknowledge it and accept it. I'm going to read this again. Do you at all understand a little of this? How enormously big and wide, how deep my love for you is. It runs deep. It runs thick. It's all over you. Just recognize it, acknowledge it, and accept it. That's all what Jesus asks. That's all what God asks. Just take it. Just say yes. And when? When does this happen? When you say yes, then he can set you free. It is your choice. And then the road with him starts. No one is perfect the day when he gave his heart to Jesus. No one. Okay? And we will not be perfect at the end also. But the day when you start to say yes, or not start, the day when you said yes, then God is going to start with you to be discipled, to be taught, to mature. It's that whole thing of baby food to babies, mature food to mature people. And it's just like the debt. If you have your child and he's making lots of debts, then you will pay the debt perhaps once, but then you're going to walk around with him and say, okay, no. I'm going to shut all your money off away. You will have nothing. If you want to do something with your money, first come to me and ask me, is this a sensible way? Is this a good way to do it? So in this sense, after you've said yes, this training starts. And it's beautiful because he loves you. He wants to have the best for you. So it's so beautiful. Okay. I'm going to read from this little bookie of mine. Everything, when I speak to God, I write it down. And many times I go back, and it is so powerful when you go back and then you see, oh, God promised this. Ah, this actually happened. So if you didn't write it down, you missed it. I also, when we went to South Africa, God promised me a few things. And I forgot about it, sorry. And then when I came back and I read again what I wrote in my book, I said, oh, this happened. Yes, this was true. And it's amazing. And that builds your faith. That builds your relationship with God. Okay, I'm quickly going to read. When you say yes, it's your choice. And then educating and disciplining starts, and teaching and learning and growing. And with the Holy Spirit help, specially sent to help you, you see, my love, I even send the Holy Spirit to you. How cool is that? It's another superpower. He knows so much. He knows everything the Father tells him. And we communicate through the Holy Spirit. And he's a helper. I even sent a helper to you. So Jesus died for all your sin. Now when you say yes and we start to have relationship, ach man, I know you're going to struggle. So I sent you a helper, a superpower helper, a miracle helper. And our relationship starts. You learn to know more of me and you learn to know me. I love this part. I cannot wait for this to start. I enjoy it so, so much. And I can say to you, you also will enjoy it. I enjoy it so much, but God loves it. He enjoys it so much. I'm just going to read on. But, I'm sorry, there is a but. As with the example of a person paying someone's debt and then start teaching him to not make debts anymore or less, this learner needs to come and learn and have a relationship with his helper to be helped. Have time to learn, listen, try, come back for feedback, etc. It's in a relationship. The same for each one of you. The teacher and learner must have respect for one another. A respect from both sides. So sorry I'm reading. It's just the words that God gave me and I wrote it down like that. We must have a respect from both sides for the time, the effort, preparedness to do this, and accountability. In this, the same is in our relationship. I'm prepared. I'm ready. I'm eager. I'm looking forward and respect you. I do not force this. It is your choice. The more you come, ask, and learn, and you have a teachable spirit, the more you will grow and you will learn, and the more you will know me. And then there was scriptures that I didn't, I think I didn't it was in the beginning, about the fear of the Lord. If you fear God, you will receive wisdom from Him. God will give you wisdom. I always translate it, wisdom starts with knowing God. But it's actually to fear God, to understand that He's almighty, and you go and ask Him, He will bring you revelation knowledge. He will bring you the wisdom. On Sunday, on the third day of His death, He died. He was resurrected with a great power, resurrection power. Now, listen carefully what He said to them. Now this power I've given to you as well, not to play with. And I think there's a scripture with it. This is the knowledge, yeah, of the resurrection power. Now this power I have given to you as well, not to play with. This is this resurrection power that God also gave us, where Jesus was plucked from the dead. When you know me more, not know of me, through the guidance of my Holy Spirit, this power can be used through prayer and faith. And then miracles happen. You know that we can pray for each other and you can be healed. There's different gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's healing, it's miracles, it's words of wisdom, words of knowledge, prophecy, speaking in tongues, interpreting of tongues. I think I've got everyone. But when you have this relationship with God, then you can, through prayer and faith, operate in this. You cannot just stand on your own and say, okay, I've said yes to Jesus, so now all power belongs to me, so now this will happen. No, it is in relationship with God. When we do evangelism on a Thursday, I'm really not a natural evangelist. So, yeah, and I feel guilty often because of that, because I feel, yeah, this is so much God did, as we learned today again. And now I don't want to share it with someone because I don't know if they will take it. But it's not about that. It's about sharing. If you bubble over of where is free ice cream, you will tell everyone there's free ice cream. So why don't you want to tell this? This is eternal value. It's so much more powerful than ice cream. Although the ice creams are very cool around the corner. Okay. So then we will work in those miracles and that. Okay, so we have the resurrection power. So we're back to that. Let's close the circle now. And I want you to close your eyes and just listen what God the Father said to me. I am the living God. Do you know of any God or idol that has this, that has done this, that is this for you? There is or are none, because I am the only living God. The other gods or ways of living, they try to copy a small part of me. They can. I am just everything. So the fullness of me, the Trinity, my Trinity, God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, is uncomprehendable. It's uncountable, indestructible, for everlasting. It's living, it's alive, with such love and compassion towards my creation, towards you. It's indescribable, so enormous that no one can or will be able to grasp the fullness of me. I am alive and active. I love you. Will you stand? Lots of things I've shared today is perhaps familiar to you. But as I read how God speaks to me, He wants to speak to you. And it is available. First you say yes to Jesus. Yes, I need you. I want you to die for all my sins. He did it already. You must just say yes. So if all people's eyes can be closed, and those who are believers, just pray in your tongue if you can, if you have your tongue. If you for the first time realize today why Jesus died, why He was resurrected, and you realize through Him is the only way to have a relationship with your Father, our Father in heaven, with God, to be saved from all your sin, your debt, your shame, your fear. you realize his love for you is personally and for the whole world. While you were still in sin, he did this for you. Jesus did everything. He did everything. God the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, they worked together. They did everything for you. Are you willing to say yes? If, while your eyes are closed, if you have never said yes to this publicly, will you be so kind to just raise your hand? Because it's important. Jesus says in his word, or God the Father says in his word, when you deny me in the public, I will also deny you. So there's no shame, there's no worry. If you're burning, if you feel, I just want this time to pass by, God is speaking to you. It's your time when you can honestly say, yes, Lord, I want to accept it. I'm still a sinner and I'm gonna walk this road with you. Is there anyone, while all eyes are closed, that would want to react and say, yes, I want to accept this? Don't let the enemy keep you back, eh? Okay. Then I want to ask you, is there anyone who realized something today? How committed God is. How much he loves you. How much he wants relationship with you. And your relationship is none and void, or there is a little. And you want to recommit and say, Lord, I want to grow closer. I want to come closer. I want to grow with you. I want to hear your voice like personally when you speak to my daughter or my son. It's available. God wants to have that. If there's anyone that wants to have that, you can come to the front when we sing the first song. But please come to the front also for the first request. If you're scared to come on your own, please come, grab the person next to you and say, yes, just walk with me. And we want to pray with you in the name of Jesus Christ. And the last one is there anyone who want to flow more in his giftings, who want to end relationship with God, want the Holy Spirit gifts and want to flow in them more? And I felt God said we must anoint you and pray the anointing over you, that you will flow in it easier. I'm going to pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you that we are confronted, but also that we can be reminded of what happened and how you planned it and what you did and why you did it, and that it is so immense. This God that we serve is alive, and we cannot, the fullness of you, we cannot grasp. But you're so special and you're so loving, Father. We love you for that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we are safe with you. Thank you that you want to guide us. Thank you that you want to lead us. Thank you that you have time for us. Thank you that you're always ready. You're never tired or lazy or just over it. You are so committed till death. Father, thank you. Thank you. We want to grow in you. We want to grow and follow you more. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.